So that's just a really short introduction into what we're going to be doing. I'm going to talk to you really quick about what it means to be a fan or a follower. And sports is the easiest place to go. How many of you, when the Chiefs win, go to work the next day and go, "We won"? Okay? You didn't win. They won. You're just the fan. You're the enthusiastic admirer. And there's nothing wrong with being a fan of a football team, a baseball team, an actor, actress that you really like, race car driver, whatever your interest is, there's nothing wrong with being a fan of what some people are capable of doing or have the opportunity to get to do. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, there needs to be a little bit of difference. And so the difference between being a fan or an enthusiastic admirer is the opposite, and that's being a follower, or, as the Bible says, a disciple of Christ, which is a imitation of the Master. And some of us are better imitations of Jesus than others. And that's okay. We're all on a journey. We're all trying to get there. The key isn't, are you perfect? Do you have it all figured out? The key is, have you made the choice that you just don't want to be a fan? You want to be a follower. You want to be somebody who's involved in what's going on. It's nice to come to church, but are you a part of the church? And so I think that's where we want to go this next 6 weeks. And because of that, we're going to be using a verse as our theme verse, if you will, which is Luke chapter 9, verse 23, which I've posted or put in your bulletin on your sermon notes. You're going to see it every week because it's the key. It's, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to find out what it means to come after Jesus, what it means to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and really follow Jesus. And today is honestly a pretty short introduction into what I hope will be a sermon series that changes your life. And whether you've have a relationship with Jesus right now, or you don't, you may know who Jesus is, but you may have never accepted His sacrifice that He came to give you when He came to die on a cross for you. You may know about Him. You may not have accepted Him. You may have accepted Him, but things just haven't gone the right way and you've kind of fallen away. Maybe today, you know, back in when I was a kid, and some of you are old enough to remember that too, because you're almost as old as I am. But we used to have these things called revivals. And the revivals were to kind of shake up and wake up the church. Because a lot of times we get apathetic, we get numb to what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do with us. We kind of get comfortable and satisfied. And sometimes God has to come by and just kind of, for lack of better expression, give us a gib slap upside the head and tell us to, you know, straighten up and do what we're supposed to do. And I hope that for some of you, that's what this sermon series will do. Stand with me. We're going to use John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14 this morning as an example of some fans of Jesus as opposed to the true followers of Him. So raise your Bible in the air and let's say our creed together. This is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I will put its principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. And a great crowd of people followed Him because they saw the signs He had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with His disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and He saw a great crowd coming toward them, He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, it would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for one, for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will that go among so many? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. And stop right there and say, there were 5,000 men, plus their wives, plus their kids. So you're probably thinking of a crowd of maybe 15 to 20,000 people. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Let's pray. Father, what we see this morning in this passage is a group of people that are there because they want Jesus to meet their physical needs. They've seen the healing that He's done. They've witnessed how He fed them all. And it's an example, Father, of how You'll take care of us and give us what we need. But it's also an example of people that are just there for the good stuff. And when times get tough, they quit following You, as we'll read in just a little while. Help us not to be fans. Help us to be followers. In Your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know when I discovered it, and this is not... I'm not trying to boost myself up or whatever, but one of the things I realized as very young was that I could take apart and fix all kinds of stuff. And I've always been good with my hands. I was 13 years old. I took apart a 57 Chevy's 283 motor, threw all the screws and bolts in one bucket, and my dad about had a heart attack. 2 weeks later, after he had all the machine work done and everything, he brought the block home and all the gaskets and everything. I put it all back together and didn't have any parts left. And that was probably kind of when I realized that I could do about whatever I wanted to do. And it was fun, and I made my living at it for a while, but now it's just kind of a hobby. Every once in a while I'll get the chance to fix a car or do something, and it's kind of nice to be able to do it, but not have to do it. But I get to do it every once in a while. Some of you are gifted in other areas. And I think sometimes when it comes to religion, if you will, there's a part of us that kind of like to go to church, think it's kind of cool. We want God there when we need Him to meet our needs. But as far as really making Jesus our number one priority, that's maybe something that's not right there right now. So we have to decide in our lives, and during this next 6 weeks, I want us to kind of think about whether our relationship with God is going to be treated as a hobby or as a career. Because if your hobby's fun and you enjoy doing it and you can make a living out of it, if you persevere, if you press hard, if you invest your time and your talents in it, you can make your hobby your career. You can flip cars, you can flip houses, you can make whatever if you're willing to put the effort into it. And that's the same way it is with our relationships in life. One of the best relationship examples is your dating relationships. If you dated very often before you were married, you will probably know that at some point during every relationship, the two people that are in that relationship have to have a talk. You've got to have that talk to go, where's this going? Are we going to go farther, or should, you know, we just part ways and go find somebody else? I mean, everybody has to do that. Mine and Annelle's, and I'm not this hopeless romantic guy that remembers everything. I just remember it because it was my mom's birthday, and I just remember it. So it was April the 9th of 1987 that we had our talk. And after that talk, you know, it was like, okay, more than likely, we're going to get married, we're going to go there, but we're going to watch a video in just a second where the timing of that talk is everything. And today, we're going to talk about having that talk, but it may not be time yet. But watch this video.
DTR. Some of you will recognize what those letters stand for. If you're not sure, let me help you out. If you are a young man in a relationship with a young woman, then chances are these letters are not to strike fear into your heart. You may run away from, postpone, you may dread the DTR talk. Some young men will even terminate a relationship if they feel like the DTR talk is imminent. It is that official talk that takes place in every romantic relationship. Do you know what it stands for, DTR? Define the relationship. You sit down and you decide where things are going. Have things moved from casual to committed? I remember this date I went on in high school. On the very first date, the girl tried to have the DTR talk with me. First date, DTR. I got out of there PDQ. I just ran away.
So, I mean, think about it. Would you want to have that talk with your date on the first date? No, you don't. You can't do that. But it is wise for all of us at some point, though, to have that talk with ourselves and God, if you will. And so today we're going to look at three questions to help you figure out the DTR. And whether you have that talk with Him today or this week or whenever, at least you'll have the tool so that you can kind of define where you are at with God or with Christ. And the first question is simply this. Why are you here? Specifically today, why are you here? Now, I know some of you were invited to I challenged a lot of us to invite our friends, invite our family to a 6-week commitment to say, give it 6 weeks, let's see where it goes. Let's see what happens. And that's awesome that you're here. Some are here because your parents make you come. Sorry, Tristan. But, I mean, it's just one of those deals where you, your parents, you're here because it's what you do. It's what you've always done. My parents were not Christians when I was born. They became Christians in 1969. So from 3 years old, I can remember doing nothing, especially until I graduated. Sunday morning, well, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we were at church. I mean, that's just the way it was. And if somebody would have asked me, why do you go to church? I would have said, because my parents make me. Even when I decided that I didn't want to follow Christ, and I was living at home, and I wasn't following. I didn't want to follow. I would, you know, there was just some things going on. Even when I didn't want to follow, I still went to church because I knew that if I didn't go to church, I'd hear it from my parents. And so it was like, I'll just go to keep the peace. It's only an hour. I'll be okay. And so we all, though, have to ask ourselves why we are here. And not just why we're at church, but why are we at this place where we're having this talk, where we're trying to define the relationship. Going to church is an easy one. You know, it can be fun. You might like the people that you go to church with. Music's pretty good. Preacher's awesome. I'm just kidding. But, you know, I mean, there are reasons why people go to churches. What church can put, and I'm, you know, especially in today's culture, it's kind of scary, but what church can put on the best show? What church has the best sound system, has the best band, has the best lighting, you know? And we get sucked into this attractional ministry as opposed to really helping people know what the gospel is, that Jesus Christ was sent by His Son, by His Father to be our sacrifice so we can have a relationship with the living God. And so you need to ask yourself, why am I here? What's the purpose? The next question, and I gave you a lot of room to write between these, and I'm not giving you any subpoints, all right? Because I don't expect you to fill it all out, but I would like for you to think about it maybe before you come to the small group, and you kind of write down, why am I doing this? Why did I tell that person I would come? What's going on? The next one is, are you all in? Is Jesus your number one priority? You know, a couple of those songs we sing talk about loving God with all of our heart, till you are my one desire. I want you more than any other thing. And that's not going to take all of your physical desires or your worldly desires away, but spiritually, are you ready to put God in a place of priority in your life? And so, if you've not accepted Christ, honestly, this answer is going to be no for right now. Hopefully it can change, but it's no. And I think for us that have followed Christ for a while, again, you know, that one verse of that song we sing says, make me broken so I can be healed, because I'm so calloused. And I think there's times in our life where we've read the Bible, we've gone to church all our lives, we know the stories, we know everything, but our relationship with God is not as personal as it really needs to be, and we haven't gone all in. And when it comes time to go all in, it scares us to death. And when you come to church and you hear videos like the one that we started out with, that say Jesus called us all to die and to surrender ourselves. I mean, those kind of words they scare me. I mean, as a kid, it was like, I remember hearing Luke 9:43 going, or 9:23 going, I got it, because in the King James, it's, you have to die daily, not deny yourself daily. It says die daily. And I'm like, that's, no. And it's too hard. And we work too hard to try to be, quote, the followers or the Christians that other people think we should be. So, John chapter 6, same chapter, moving on to verses 52 through 57, Jesus has been talking to them about, you know, things that He's going to do and how He is the bread of life. And he needs to be the one that they feed on, that they pay attention to, that they use to strengthen them. But then he goes in a crazy direction and he says, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat my flesh, and unless I tell you the truth, unless you eat my flesh and drink his blood, my blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my body is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. And the people went, you're crazy. You want me to eat your body and drink your blood? And we understand the symbolism because we're 2,000 years farther along. But these people, Jesus was trying to separate the fan from the follower. And some of the people there went, yeah, you're right. I really need to pour myself into you and consume what you're saying. Other people in verse 66 says, From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Some of the people that were on this is a Sermon on the Mount, and some of the people that were up there after it was over, they went, I'm out. I'm not doing this. This guy's nuts. I'm not going there. Don't know if they ever came back, but it just says that they turned back and no longer followed him. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we all in? And the last thing, the last question of the DTR this morning is simply this. Have you made it your own? And this is especially for those of us whose parents, grandparents, spouses made us go to church or took us to church and got us started. Because, you know, some people will say, well, are you a Christian? Yes. Why? Because my mom's a Christian or because my dad's a Christian. And, you know, the honest truth is that God has children, but He has no grandchildren. All right? You don't get into heaven just because your mom is a saint or because your dad was the best person in the church. It has to be your own. It's not about whether you went through catechism classes and you passed all the tests and you got baptized or you got your first communion. It's not about whether you came to an altar at 5 years old and prayed and got baptized. It's about, am I following Jesus today? Do I have a relationship that is up to date? Am I following Christ now? Because if it were all about just taking the courses or saying a prayer, then when you meet Jesus, He would say, when did you do it? Okay, you're good. And you would go into heaven. But He asks questions and He gives us examples of those questions in the gospel when He says that when you come to the gates of heaven, He's going to ask you, you know, when did you feed me? When did you give me clothes? When did you help me? And it's as we are like Christ to other people that we see the fact that we are really following Him. And so our actions are not just there to, quote, make us perfect in God's eyes, but our actions are there to show people that this is what Jesus would do if He were alive today. And so, as we continue and start our small groups tonight and this week, I challenge you to think about the DTR. Ask yourself why you're here. Are you all in? Can you be all in? Do you want to be all in? And have you made it your own? Because until it's really your own, it won't stick. It will be something that you will do for a while to make somebody happy, but it's not going to be real. And you have to ask yourself, am I a fan or am I a follower? Do I want to be a fan or a follower, or is just being a fan okay? I can tell you this. Back when I was more physically able than I am today, there wasn't one time that I went to a ball game, whether it was football, baseball, basketball, that if the opportunity arose, if they said, hey man, we need one more player, I would have been there in a heartbeat. And in my mind, specifically today, I think that's what Jesus is doing to all of us, saying, hey, I need one more player. And are you willing to get into the game and really be what He wants you to be? Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank You so much for who You are. I thank You so much for loving us, that You sent Your one and only Son to die on a cross so that if we believe in Him, we can have eternal life with You. I pray that You would help us all to be able to answer these questions honestly, whether we've been following or not. For some of us, Father, this could be the first step. For others, this could be a big step. And for others, it can just be another step towards You. None of us have arrived. We all need You. I ask these things in Your name. Amen. Let's all stand this morning.